thank you, Brother Marler. God bless you. And I'm glad to be here. I came because I wanted to. And put just a little few moments of encouraging devotion, inspiration, or something. I appreciate Brother Mooney, Sister Mooney, and that goes without saying that if all of us could say those things, and then more things. Today has been just wonderful. It has just been absolutely wonderful. Last year it was great. I think that this is filling a particular need in all of our lives. It's important that we stay together, especially when we have changing times. And the Bible said, iron sharpeneth iron. If you're wondering about some things, you just pray and seek God. What God showed you first is the right way. Amen. And we're going to believe God tonight. I just want to read a passage of Scripture. We'll ride along. I wanted to say also, all these speakers, last night I was not here. For some reason, I've been busier the last 3 or 4 months than I had the last 3 or 4 years. I'm just going. This is the fourth state I've been in a week. I'm not sure what state of mind I'm in. But last night, Brother Booker and Brother Mooney and Brother French, and today Brother Chance, Brother French, Brother Molenthal. Aren't you glad we didn't spring from monkeys? You ever hear that little poem? Three monkeys sat in a coconut tree discussing things that were said to be. Said one to the other, now listen, you two, there's certain things that can't be true. What mother monk would build or would leave her other's babies to bump and go out at night and get on a stew and use a gun or club or knife to take some other poor monkey's life? It ends up by saying, yes, man descended the honorary cuss, but he sure didn't descend from us. And I think you've heard that probably. I want to leave with you tonight just a few words. In times of changing times, it is so good to keep yourself anchored. Find out who you are, what you believe, and stick to it. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, it talks about the Genesis chapter 3. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, little g, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I would like to divide tonight into about three separate distinct parts. First of all, a little devotion about our times. The time that we live in is probably one of the most dangerous times that we've ever lived in. As we all know, hunting or driving, that the most dangerous time is just before daylight and just before dark. You don't know who your enemy is. You don't know what to shoot or kill. More hunters have been killed at twilight and in morning light than any other time. But the Bible did say that evening time there should be light. You this morning raised on a farm or on a ranch or somewhere, know that when you're looking, you see the sun slipping over the horizon, and then it gets a certain distance. It seems like it just slides down like it's greased. But just before it fades, it seems like that there is a certain burst of light. And this is what the prophet said. And he meant to us at end time, at evening time. Right now is an evening time. You run from a lion, you'll meet a bear. You don't know where to go. But these are the times that we live in. The times that we're in now are no different than times we've had before. Have we had times like this before? Genesis gives the story of the time before. For the Bible said that when Eve saw the tree, the devil said, "Ye shall not surely die." Just change a little bit. In any error, there has to be a little bit of truth. The only way to get poison across to an individual is not just poison them all of a sudden, but you put your arsenic in a biscuit, and over a period of time, they die. Most of the time, churches do not die overnight. It's a gradual creeping from the inside. We will, as we've been said 1,000 times for many years, we will not ever die from the outside. We will just rot from the inside. At the time that we live in, it's probably the most dangerous time and of all. A young man that's picking us up and take care of us, I told him that I received the Holy Ghost when I was 11. And I have never been tempted to get in error or to leave this beautiful truth. I've been tested about it, but I've never been tempted. I don't know whether he knew who I was, of course, last night when I got in the car. And he knew my wife, Diane, and he spoke to her. And he said, "My name is Kyle." I said, "My name is Tom Hanks." And I think he's getting over that shock now. But I had the Holy Ghost, and I didn't go over fool's hell as a teenager. And in fact, I was probably born with the Holy Ghost. I just didn't know it. But at the age of 3, I was addicted to cigarettes. My mother told the story of me coming around the house with a cigarette butt in my hand, and she said, "Tommy, you're smoking." She said, "Are you smoking?" I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Surely not smoking." I said, "Swear to God I am." So I was addicted very young. So God delivered me from a lot of things. Delivered me from that, delivered me from the country, delivered me from the file handle, delivered me from a whole lot of things. I feel sorry for people that do not have a confidence of knowing who they are and where they're going. So we have had times like this before. In Genesis, at the first advent of Christ, from the close of Malachi, the opening of Matthew was 400 long, dark, benighted years. But there was still a remnant that believed the consolation of Israel. As prophesied, and also as borne out, when Simeon lifted up the Lord, he said, Now I can depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And we know that as time goes by, that we realize that what happened in the early church was similar to what's happening now. And when Christ came, the Holy Ghost was poured out. About 315 A.D., Constantine made it a law you couldn't kill Christians. 325, the Council of Nicaea. A lot of people come into the church. In so doing, they tried to accommodate everything. And in so doing, they lost everything. And of course, we were plunged into what is called the Dark Ages. And we know at the first advent, there was this kind of darkness. The primitive church had the same kind of problems. The modern church, which our intellectuals tell us that we've just come out, are coming out of the modern church into the postmodern church. Well, we have come through it all, and we're going to make it clear to the other side. So this modern church was, as one writer said, not a picnic for the church. So we're going to have to cope with postmodern times. Call it modernity. There is something that fell across my eyes just recently, but it's something I've been praying and reading about for the last 3 or 4 years. They call it emerging values. And I brought something tonight just to kind of keep us connected here. This writer talks about emerging values, and he speaks for all the modernity age that we're living in, this postmodern age. And he says this. He sums up what they try to reach back to C.S. Lewis, Francis Schaeffer, of course, many others that I could mention here. But what happens when the climate changes, when post-secular is an accepted term to describe our times, when ivory tower intellectuals go on pierced and tattooed teenagers in saying, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Spirituality is not the word that we necessarily mean, have. And so large numbers become less important than quantity of people. We understand that. So the church growth of the 80s and 90s has given way to the quest for community. The quest is essential, but it's also risky and hard. And community is a buzzword that you either have heard or you're going to hear a whole lot of in the future. And it's something all of us like, but it's something that is going to be used to steer us away from what is real truth. So I'm trying to hurry. And in this, he compares modern Christianity's quest for the perfect belief system. He compares it to medieval church architecture. Christians in the emerging culture may look back on our doctrinal structures. And he's speaking in a broad sense. Statements of faith, systematic theology, and so forth, as we look back on medieval cathedrals, possessing a real beauty that should be preserved, but largely vacant, not inhabited, or used much anymore by anyone, more tourist attraction than holy place. The switch suggests a change in questions that we ought to ask. And he rearranges all of the questions. In this tough situation, he says, the church seeks to build a kind of miraculous community of virtue, a community not based on race, culture, status, wealth, or even religious background, but rather on a community convened in the spirit. Sadly, too many churches function more like sucking people out of their neighborhoods into church activities that isolate believer from neighbor and frustrate Jesus' prayer that we all should be one. I've experienced thinking like this in a local setting, and it was very, very tenuous. They're projecting into this situation that we're now in, they're post-charismatic, they're post-everything, because they're so tired of a lot of the fluff and the foam, and so we're going to, and people try this with house churches and community churches and cell groups to satisfy that, but the idea and the ideal behind this is everyone pulled out of a church, puts you back in your neighborhood, and you just kind of live it upon people like Mother Teresa, and suddenly you'll decide, I want to be a Christian, but the problem is you don't have any place to go. Now, with that said, you can understand where I'm coming from. The postmodern time is the emerging values that they have. What are they? I've described some. How do they relate to us? We live in this day when we're going to have to face this. Our problem right now is not whether we're going to, join the tongue-speaking movement, because we're already in it. In fact, we started it. My grandmother received the Holy Ghost in about 19 or 20, and she took all of her kids and put them to bed, and she couldn't talk English for 5 days. And she'd go out to get her up the egg, she'd talk in tongues, put all the kids to bed, she'd talk in her tongue. Now, this was a long time before the prayer language and all of this. I just want us to all understand that we're not just a Johnny-come-lately. All the rest of them, we can say, I told you so. But on the other hand, we're going to be confused with these so-called eggheads. That's me. I know I'm not, so that makes me okay. So these emerging values, they relate to us. Our response to that is we're going to live right, do right, keep our fundamental doctrine, know what we believe, know where we're going, and in just a few short days we'll emerge out of this like a plane coming out of the clouds. Our challenge is the second law of thermodynamics. Now, I think he said today that it's chaos coming out of order. Is that right? Or order coming out of chaos? Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Now, most of the time, people around Jackson say he has the method to this madness. Just stay with him. And people that leave Jackson and come back, that I mean, evangelists and so forth, they said, we'd rather hear you ramble than anybody else preach. Because they understand sooner or later there's going to be some method come to this. Now, we move away from our blueprint, our pattern. We understand today, and especially through all the preaching today, and Brother McCool, ain't he cool? I'm telling you, he's cool. And that's the Jews, any Jew that gets saved like the first Jews. And if Samaritans get saved, they get saved like the first Samaritans. And if Gentiles get saved, they get saved like the first Gentiles get saved. And so God has spared you and I this particular time. I'm convinced of that as I'm convinced I'm standing here. I don't have to get up every morning and strain and decide who I am or where I'm going or what I believe. That settled a long time ago when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm baptized in Jesus' name. Not live for God through all of this. You think we're going to get down from the town, not on your life. But at the evening time when sun sets, God's going to raise up a Brother Mooney to step in the place to say we can have a steadfast conference. What's wrong? This is a proper and wonderful word. Amen. And I think we all need to close ranks and let everybody know exactly where we stand. You may not have to explain a whole lot of things like preachers did today, but you let them know whose side you're on. And we're on the side of staying with the truth and not wandering out here in the morass of a whole lot of problems.